You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong, but most of all,
welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Monday, actually Tuesday, or maybe it's Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. Tuesday, you're going to hear something I just preached on Sunday. And wow, that really went over well, looking at Moses. And the sermon is entitled, Moses Walks to His Own Funeral. And it's a kind of sad look at the man Moses, of all the good that he did, and what a hero of the faith. And yet, he was barred from entering the promised land. We're going to look at what went wrong today. What happened to Moses? What terrible sin, as you'd imagine, it would have to been for him to be excluded from the promised land here on earth. So that's what we're going to look at. I'll let this opening play Tuesday and Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, I invite you to come to Island Community Church tonight, our midweek Bible study. This is our last week in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be going right to Luke's sequel after this, which is the book of Acts. So that's what's going on here this week at church. God's doing an awesome work at our church. You are invited. I invite you to come by and take part in one of our services. If you enjoy this program, if you hear from God as we're in His Word, that's why I named this what I did, WGOD, because God is always broadcasting. All we need to do is tune into His frequency, and that's what we do here. So I invite you to church. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday mornings, 10:30, Wednesday evenings at 6. So if it's Wednesday and if it's 5:30 when you're tuned in, hey, you got half an hour to make it to church tonight. And we'll be looking at the Lord Jesus on the road to Emmaus, one of my favorite Easter sermons, on what the Lord did on His resurrection morning. So that's what's going on Wednesday night at 6. We'll be starting a new series here in a couple weeks coming up. That'll be in the book of Philippians. But here and now, let's get into this last sermon out of this series on Moses. If you'd like to hear the other ones, you can go to islandcommunitychurch.net. And there's a link on there. This is prior broadcast. You'll see them all uploaded right there. You can download them, email them, send them to a friend. Facebook, it's on there as well. The services are on live on Facebook, Island Community Church Facebook page. The sermons are on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. So that's what we're doing here at the church. I invite you so you can see what God is doing at the church. Okay, here's this last message in this series now. Moses walks to his own funeral. Moses walks to his own funeral. That's where we're at here this morning. This is our last week looking at the life of Moses. Now, today I want to look at what went wrong and what serious thing Moses could have done to keep him from entering into the promised land. After all these positive things that he had done, you see, it all goes back to a rock. Our main scripture today is actually in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's also on the handout. Our launching point here today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, on your handout, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, They all passed through the sea. They all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. They all drank from the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. Notice the capital R there. They all drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Christ. Remember that today as we move along. Jesus represents the rock. That rock was Christ. So we know what this means. Before we even stop and look at this text here today, we already know what it means. Now, last week, we saw that God... Now, while I'm reading this, you guys can turn to Exodus chapter 14, all right? We're going to start there here in just a second. Exodus 14, 26. But last week, we saw God deliver the Israelites with a great deliverance. And he killed the firstborn of Egypt. And the Jews left Egypt. Then on their way out, God parted the Red Sea for them, allowing them to cross over on the other side. That's where we're going to pick it up. Exodus chapter 14, verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So once again, God delivers either out of or through tribulation, does he not? The Bible says our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Be it in a fiery furnace or in the lion's den. Notice the child of God's got to go through those things. But God delivers them in the midst of them, just like we've been looking at here. Verse 30 of this same chapter. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. There you have it. That would suffice for you, wouldn't it? I mean, these guys had more of God than you could ever dream of having. Question. If God parted the Atlantic Ocean, enabling you to drive your Jeep Wrangler all the way to England without putting it in four-wheel drive, is that something that you personally might remember? Don't make me swing this gavel this early. Is that something you would hold on to? If you had them, is that something you would tell your grandchildren about? Come on, you drove across the Atlantic on dry ground all the way to London. This is what happened to these guys. I mean, with all my faults, I certainly hope that if I drove to England in June, I would not be blaspheming God alongside all the naysayers and scoffers by the 4th of July. That's how fast this happened. Mother's Day to 4th of July. And now Moses expects the same as I would. Even more so, these guys had seen the glory of God. Moses expects the same. Come on, people. Can't you go 1 month without turning into an atheist? 1 month? Good Lord, the Atlantic Ocean was dry a month ago. A month ago. and you're already blaspheming his name. 1 month? You know, a lack of faith just, more than anything, just turns God's stomach. More than anything. Isn't it number one? The other stuff he forgives us of. Oh, man, there's nothing that just is worse to him than a lack of faith. Matter of fact, it kind of turns my stomach a little bit too. If there's ever a sin not to commit, this would be it. It would be a lifestyle of having a dead fish faith. You ever shake hands with a dead fish? You have, huh, Richie? Moses expects the same. Now, Moses had a short fuse. He had anger issues. During one of the plagues, Moses in anger stormed out of a meeting with Pharaoh and says, "This is the last time you're ever going to see my face." Furious, he left there. When Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, he was so mad that the Jews had made themselves an idol, another god. The Bible says that he smashed the two tablets and was furious, costing him a mint on eBay. And the great theologian Mel Brooks writes, actually he had three tablets and he accidentally dropped one and goes, so I got 10. Mel Brooks. Come on, people. Haven't you ever seen the history of the world? Sometimes, in a fit of rage, we can do things that we do not mean to do. And depending on the seriousness, we can get into a world of trouble. Haven't you ever heard of a crime of passion before? Anyone here ever been that mad? And then said something or did something that you quickly regretted? Come on, everyone's done that and have said that at some point or another. Let me drop this question on you, then move on. Why did God regard Moses' anger issues differently than he regards yours? He treats, thank God, he treats you different than he treated Moses. He doesn't treat Darren different than he treated Moses, because he's going to treat Darren the same way that he treated Moses. And me. Because the Bible says, let not many of us become teachers, knowing we will receive a stricter judgment. And to whom much is given, much is required. And when you take that choice of getting up here and being a preacher and standing here in place of who? Representing who? Better watch out what you do and watch out what you say, because you're not going to be treated the same way as everybody else. Now, after the parting of the Red Sea, we read in Exodus chapter 17, the Jews were a little thirsty. Exodus 17, verse 1. Just a couple pages, right? Then all the congregation of the children of Israel, they set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord. And they camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water so that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Who am I, the Zephyr Hills man?" Moses says, "Why do you ask me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" See, you're not asking me. That's worse than that. You haven't heard from God in a month, so now you're going to take it out on... Oh, no, don't take it out on me. Take it out on him. Take it out on him, not me. I'm not responsible for you. Not like he who has begun a good work and you will complete it. Don't blame me for that. You blame him. God is larger and in charge of your life just because things haven't happened in the time you allotted it to happen. Watch out. Don't blame me. So they blame Moses here for water. What is Moses going to do? How many millions of people are out here? You're going to blame Moses because you're thirsty? Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained about Moses and says, notice the whys here. Why is it? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock? Can you believe after all that they had seen? So Moses cries out to the Lord saying, what do I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. You know, sometimes I feel so sorry for Moses. He didn't ask for any of this. And it's astounding to me, this horrendous lack of faith. And I think it's astounding to Moses as well. I mean, God just parted the Red Sea in your rearview mirror. Don't you trust him to come through in your life? How about you? Of all that God's done for you in your life, don't you trust him anymore? Don't you people trust God? Look at how much God has done for you in your life. Praise God, you're above ground. You've got food to eat. Some of us nigh have hit 90 years old. Well, one of us. God is good, isn't he? See, I know he would answer that. Start calling you Caleb. Especially with that beard. He looks like Caleb. Except, are you ready to conquer a city and kill everyone in it like he was at 90? Probably. But poor Moses. While in the meantime, God loves you so much that he sent his son down here to planet Earth and die in your place. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you guys trust God in your life? After all that he has seen you through to get you to Island Community Church on my mother's birthday, the 5th of March, don't you think he's going to see you through whatever trial that you're going through right now? Right? See, that's what God's looking for. The faith, just a little bit is all it takes to move all the mountains out of your way. That's all Jesus called it a mustard seed. I'm not making this up. Just that much. Just that much. Add a little miracle grow. No. Add a little miracle grow to it. Now we got that right, huh? There's your miracle grow. Little bit of faith, some miracle grow. Read it here. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. And you can go, adios, yonder mountain. And then you can watch that in your rearview mirror. See, this is what God's looking for. A few good men and a few good women that aren't going to give up on him and the first sight of adversity. God loves you on your worst day. Do you think he's going to forsake you now because you've stubbed your toe? Or because you zigged when you should have zagged? Just because we're not in the place of the Egyptians doesn't mean that you and I can't struggle with faith issues like they did. All right, now verse 5. This first time, Moses does it God's way. Okay, the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, look at what God said to Moses now. I will stand before you there on the rock. God is standing on this rock. I've never seen that before. I will stand on this rock in Horeb, and you will strike it, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So we call the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So that's life-giving water. That's a stream in the desert. God said, I'll stand on the rock. This also represents, now remember how we started, that rock is who? And God says, strike it. You see, this is a shadow. What did he say? Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Here, it's strike the rock. This pictures Jesus bearing the punishment for his people's sin. This is a shadow of what's going to come 1,500 years later. I laugh and I muse over this because this is the kind of things the Holy Spirit has given the associate pastor here. And it's really opening our eyes to understanding that, I mean, he could get up now and give a whole sermon on this, that so many things around us are shadows, they're copies of the original. And here's another shadow of God dying or taking the penalty for sin upon himself, bearing the punishment for the people's sin. Now remember, again, well, I already told you that, what the Apostle Paul said and where we started today. They all drank from that same spiritual drink. They drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock here has been smitten or struck. Out of the rock, flows life-giving water. That's a shadow of what's going to come here. Strike the rock, out comes life-giving water. Strike the rock, out comes life. It's Jesus. All right, so far, so good for Moses, right? Remember what was commanded Moses. He was instructed to strike the rock. Now let's turn to the third book of the Bible, the book of Numbers, chapter 20. All right, Genesis, Exodus. I'm sorry, that's not the third book of the Bible. Leviticus is the third book of the Bible, fourth book of the Bible. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, they came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died and was buried there. Remember, Miriam was Moses' older sister, remember? Remember our first sermon in this series, how Miriam arranged for her mother to take care of Moses until he was of age? Everyone remember that? Verse 2. Now there was no water. Here we go again. No water in town. There was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses. Look at what people, if you get anything today, get this. Look at what people are willing to do when there's no water. That's very, very prophetic, is it not? People will kill their own mother for a cup of water. Look at what they're willing to do. Verse 3, so the people contended with Moses, saying, oh, if only we would have died when our brothers died before the Lord. Why? Here we go again, a bad case of the wise. Why have you brought up this assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, so that we and our animals should die here? Is that really what you think? After all of this, now here we go again. Now this might be, remember, they wandered 40 years. I'm sure the parting of the Red Sea was a little more than in the rearview mirror now. But still, why have you done this? Verse 5, why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain? Or it is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So again, you know something, church family? I believe that water is very, very prophetic when you read it in the Bible. Notice this is the second time now that people have lost their faith in God because of a lack of water. Now, I've got to be obedient to the Lord and take you where He wants me to take you, if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 11. A lot of heads nodding. Those that know their God know the future. They know tomorrow's newspaper. Revelation chapter 11. Starting in verse 3. Keep your finger where we were. Of course, we're going to be back there. But Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Okay. This is a glimpse at sometime in the future. I don't know when. I think it's 3.5 years after the tribulation starts. But this is what's going to happen in the future when there's no water. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. Now that, in a Hebrew calendar, is 3.5 years. So if me and Darren are wrong and when we think this is going to happen, this could be the start of the tribulation. Maybe we're wrong, right? If we're wrong, then this could be tomorrow. This could be tomorrow. So whenever this starts, get out your calendar. Matter of fact, you can go, well, you'd have to use an iPhone for it because there's no calendars yet in existence. To take you that far, the next time it's going to rain. If you go to Office Depot, all you can get is a calendar for this year. Has anyone seen a calendar for 2024 yet in the store? Oh, of course, Steve has got one. Let's all go home now. How about 2025, Steve? Have you seen that in Woolworth yet? I guess I'm dating myself, huh? I know, what in the world is Woolworth? Anyone seen a calendar for 2026 yet at Bamberger's?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing.